Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. In back-to-back town hall meetings this week, Juneau city officials and legislators addressed concerns about Governor Mike Dunleavy's proposed state budget. There's been vocal opposition in Juneau to many of the suggested cuts, and local leaders say they want constituents to continue letting the legislature know. KTOO's Adeline Baxter has more.
The city and borough of Juneau says it stands to lose more than $28 million from reductions in state funding. Those losses would be spread between the city, Bartlett Regional Hospital, and the Juneau School District. No one spoke in support of Governor Dunleavy's budget at Monday's City Town Hall, or on Tuesday, when Juneau's legislative delegation hosted a similar event for nearly 200 residents. About 20 people testified, many calling for a state income tax and expressing dismay over cuts to education and the ferry system. One resident asked pointedly whether legislators are building a coalition of votes necessary to override a veto from the governor. Senator Jesse Keel said he has seen indications that the momentum to make that happen exists.
I have worked in the Capitol building for a long, long time. And I will say that I have never seen legislators so nice to one another as we're all being this year. I suspect you're not the only one thinking about that.
He added that 45 votes out of 60 legislators is a high target to hit. The Juneau delegation promised constituents that they'll continue to present a united front against cuts they feel are bad for the region and state at large. Representative Sarah Hannon said that locals need to continue reaching out to them and other legislators to share their concerns. She said although the pushback against the budget has been strong, there's still vocal support for the governor's plan in other parts of the state.
There are still Alaskans sending us emails every day from other parts of the state, some here in Juneau, saying, I want my $6,700 back pay like the governor promised.
This week has been a busy one for public testimony in Juneau. Immediately after the town hall, Representative Andy Story hurried back to the Capitol to hear more public testimony on proposed cuts to the ferry system in the House Transportation Committee. In Juneau, I'm Adeline Baxter.
The state of Alaska could receive hundreds of millions of dollars a year from three big new oil prospects in the western part of the North Slope. But federal and state laws require that most of the money stay on the North Slope. A handful of municipalities there get first dibs at spending it. That's heating up a conversation in Juneau and beyond about who benefits from North Slope oil revenue and whether the current split of the money is fair. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Ravenna Koenig and Nat Herz have the story.
When Governor Mike Dunleavy released his budget back in February, he proposed using a new source of cash, $400 million from property taxes levied on the oil and gas infrastructure scattered around Alaska.
Here's the catch. Cities and boroughs already use that tax revenue to balance their own budgets. In some cases, like on the oil-rich North Slope, it's their primary source of cash. The Dunleavy administration justified the move in part by pointing to a second source of oil money for the borough. Specifically, money they hope will come from new oil development in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska, or NPRA.
Administration officials like Mike Barnhill say that North Slope residents already benefit disproportionately from oil revenue and should be sharing more of the benefits with Alaskans across the state.
If we allow the status quo to persist, we will be at a point of shocking inequity.
NPRA is an Indiana-sized swath of federal land in the western part of the North Slope. And it's a hot new area for oil development. It's home to several ConocoPhillips discoveries that could soon produce significant amounts of oil. According to federal law, the state gets half of the government's royalty share of oil produced in the reserve. But the parts of Alaska most directly or severely impacted by development in the reserve get priority. Right now, that's a handful of municipalities on the North Slope, including the North Slope Borough.
The NPRA revenues have been relatively small so far, but the state projects they could peak at around $300 million a year by 2029. That means the borough could end up collecting royalty and property tax revenue that equates to about $70,000 a year for each one of its 10,000 residents. Jeremy Price, deputy chief of staff to Dunleavy, says that's too much.
The question legislators need to ask themselves, is that fair to the rest of the state? We would argue that is not fair.
But the North Slope Borough says that the Dunleavy administration's proposal isn't fair to them.
This would destroy the North Slope Borough. We'd be done.
That's DJ Fauske, a top borough official. He says that the borough's budget of about $400 million may seem like a lot for the small population it serves, but it's expensive to provide services to people in 8 Arctic villages, where supplies have to be mostly barged or flown in. The borough uses its money to provide many government services, like police, public works, search and rescue, that the state handles in other rural areas.
Fauske also notes that North Slope villages face expensive problems that road system communities don't, like coastal erosion tied to climate change. Then there's the fact that the borough's tax revenue from oil gives its residents a stake in the industry's success. Fauske suggests that taking that away could turn borough residents against new developments, like in NPRA or in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge.
Our support of oil and gas development on the North Slope has always and still is contingent upon such activities providing a benefit to our residents.
Borough officials say it's too early to start talking about whether they should give up some of the new revenues that are forecast to come from NPRA. Only one of Conoco's 3 big projects has come online. The second just started construction, and the third is still in planning stages. Borough officials say the conversation should wait until the projects and the cash from them are more certain. Dunleavy's proposal to redistribute property tax revenue has stalled in Juneau for now. But some lawmakers are expecting a debate if the state collects more and more money from the reserve's new projects. John Coghill is a Republican state senator from North Pole, and he says he'd like that discussion to be cooperative.
The governor has opened up the conversation, and it's a proper conversation to have. But the posture that I think you'll see the Senate take is, okay, what's fair? How do we all work with this as a state? And how do we take care of the North Slope, but make sure that the rest of Alaska isn't left behind?
If the topic surfaces in a serious way in Juneau, it wouldn't be the first time. Veterans of Alaska politics point out that debates around the sharing of North Slope oil revenues have popped up before, particularly when the state has faced tight budgets. Larry Persily is a former deputy state revenue commissioner, and he says that if more and more revenue flows out of the reserve, the debate is only likely to get more intense.
If the state's finances are still tight, if the pain from budget cuts is still excruciating, you're going to have a lot of people looking at this pot of money and saying, well, gee, I want some of that.
Persily says that fight would likely pit urban and rural legislators against each other. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Ravenna Koenig in Fairbanks.
And I'm Nat Herz in Anchorage.
A new Iditarod champion has been crowned. KNOM's Ben Matheson has the story from the end of the trail.
Bethel musher Pete Kaiser's team of 8 dogs crossed under the burled arch in Nome at 3:39 a.m. A boisterous crowd of friends and family from the Bethel area traveled to Nome to celebrate Kaiser's victory. The 31-year-old wins $50,000 and a new truck. It's the career highlight for Kaiser, who's raced the Iditarod each year since 2010. On 3 separate occasions, he's placed as high as 5th, but this is his first outright win. His run took 9 days, 12 hours, and 39 minutes. But he had to hold off Your Life Seth Olsom, the defending champion, who surged on the final run in from White Mountain to trim 30 minutes off Kaiser's 42-minute edge. The 1,000-mile race came down to 12 minutes. Kaiser is the first competitor from Western Alaska to win the race since Kotzebue musher John Baker's 2011 victory, and he's the first Iditarod champion with Yupik roots. He says he hopes his win will help spark an interest in the Delta and beyond.
Not just Yupik people, but all of the rural native people from Western Alaska or anywhere in the state for that matter. It really doesn't matter. Anybody who could get a kick out of this that's awesome,
Kaiser was raised around sled dogs in Bethel. His father raced dogs in local races before he was born. Kaiser's racing style has tended to be conservative during the early parts of a race, in which he banks extra rest to ensure he has the speed when opportunities arise. It was a variation on that style that positioned Kaiser for the victory in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, I generally have kind of an idea of what I'm going to do, but it's never set in stone. It's just a lot of these runs, a run can take 5 hours on a good trail, 8 hours on a bad trail, just like this race played out. I mean, all these runs turned out to be 2 or 3 hours longer than they could have been on a good trail. So you got to be able to adjust your rest accordingly, I feel like. And if you just have something put on pen to paper of what you're going to do, no matter what, I don't think it's going to work out that great. So
Kaiser raced a bit behind the leaders for the early and midsection of the race, preparing for the right time to show off his team's speed. Kaiser waited until Caltag to take his mandatory 8-hour break, and it was on that last push up the Yukon that his team hit a critical stride.
We just got some trail that the team really likes, and we didn't see much of that this race. So my team really likes hard, fast trails where they can go fast, and that was probably the best trail for that type of running the whole race. So when they got on that, they really wanted to roar, and actually held them back for most of that run.
That was KNOM's Ben Matheson reporting in Nome. Quick check of weather. Light rain and breezy, 40 degrees at Juneau International Airport.